All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Before we dive in today's episode, I want to thank you for tuning in and supporting the brand. Over the last few years, I spent a lot of time starting FarmerGrade. We offer meat that you and your family can trust by strictly sourcing our cuts from farmers who share their story and processes online through social media. We provide high-quality beef and pork that is 100% born, raised, and harvested in the United States. If you want to support the content and the message we share online, I would appreciate it if you went over to farmergrade.com and you can use the code BARNTALK to save 10% off your next order. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. We love you. Now, let's get into the episode. Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be kind of a hot topics episode. We're going to talk about what's going on, but we're also going to just be talking about what's going on around the farm too. So stay tuned for that. Before we get into it, you know the drill. Share the show. If you got any value from the show, share it out with who you know. Share it out. You can share it out online. You can share it in person with people at the bar, people at the sale barn, wherever you see people, let them know you listen to Barn Talk. You could also leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We're up to 2,000 five-star reviews on Spotify, and we're getting closer by the day to hitting 1,000 five-star reviews on Apple. We're also doing a raffle again to give away a free pork box from the pigs that we raise here on our farm to you guys. And the way you enter in the raffle is if you're watching on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to us on YouTube, and comment your favorite part of this episode. And if you're on Spotify listening, you can tell us what you think about the episode when there's a prompt that asks you, what do you think of this episode on Spotify? You can tell us there and leave a review. So those are the two ways you can enter in the raffle. We will pick a winner from people that listen, and we'll pick a winner that from people that view us on YouTube and send you some free meat. And I think that's pretty much it.
Good job. Yeah. And side note, those five-star reviews, those are complete organic because we've gotten to the point now, there's no way we could pay all those people. We don't have that kind of money. When we had like five-star reviews, yeah, we probably could have paid five people. I could have found five people to put a...
Fuck, they're probably you.
Well, maybe.
Making all those accounts.
Not saying I wouldn't do that.
It's like you with the raffle tickets trying to get free meat.
Yeah, you kind of stomped me on that.
Yeah.
I do like... There is... I really do like
no freebies.
Farmer-grade bacon, though. Top notch. So today's like a snow day. Like, you know, I was up at watching morning cartoons, just waiting, you know, watching the screen for all the cancellations. You remember that when you would just be sitting there just waiting to see whether your school got canceled and you're like, the town that we live in starts with a W, so it was always at the end. And when you turn the TV on, they'd always be like at the B's or the C's. And you're just like, God damn it. Just waiting and waiting. And then like an epiphany, there it is. So happy. Have a freebie. So today's our freebie day. Today's our snow day. So we're just gonna kind of let it go however we want. And since you did that awesome intro to my intro, I'm just gonna keep going and do a market update. Market update, I'll give you a little commentary, something I thought that was interesting I learned today. I was watching a guy, and there right now, if you take like a sample of the corn, soybean, and wheat contracts for the nearby, there is over 500,000 contracts short. So the short sellers are just running they're just beating the piss out of the market. And there's 270,000 short contracts for corn, and that is the most since 2019. And really, there's not much to get excited about. The weather's turned in South America. It's pretty decent. Demand has not been that great. Export markets are okay, but they're not that great. And here's what these guys are running on to put it in perspective. So if we raised 15 plus billion bushel corn crop in 23, probably only about a third of that corn is priced. So if that means you've got, say you got 10 billion, give or take, bushels of corn, that somewhere between now and fall, all that corn's got to get priced. That's like 10 million contracts, I think, as far as Chicago Board of Trade. So the fact that they're 270,000 short, it's still like a drop in the bucket. So there's just not much out there to get excited, and the markets are kind of reflecting that. It's just, I guess everybody's kind of waiting for the next thing to drive this. But corn today, 448, 455 at C&R Pork. Our good friends at C&R Pork went out and knocked on the bin, and they went, shit, we better get some corn. So they got the hot bid, 455. Beans, 1226 at the river. The river's still taking beans, so that's surprising. 1205. Oh, sorry, 1226 on the board, 1205 at the river, 1250 in Quincy. Bean meal, 358 a ton. Wheat, 605. Hogs, $71, finally above $70. Cost production, about $85, so still not good. Cattle, 174. Feeder cattle, 230. That's not going anywhere. It hasn't. It's been high for a long time. It's going to continue to be because cattle numbers are still down. Oil, $74 for the March contract. Bitcoin got throttled back a little bit, 38,000. We didn't quite get the spring might be kind of like our winter weather. Might have gotten trampled on a little bit. Ethereum, 2181. Tesla, $214. I would be a buyer of Tesla at $214. I'd be buying the living piss out of it if I had any money. So gold, $2,024, and silver, $20. Boom.
That is your market update. That was good.
Yep. You might want to slow that down a little bit if you're actually trying to take in those numbers. But
yeah,
let's face it, by the time you get this, it's...
It'll be different. Have somebody comment every time. Your numbers are off. That's not what they were today.
Yeah.
Well, we don't shoot this podcast, get it all edited and released all on the same day. So
I should put a disclaimer that the market update...
It's a little late.
...is like the points on whose line is it anyway. They really don't matter.
Yep. There you go. So first kind of thing we want to talk about today is just the sheer amount of snow that we got here in Southeast Iowa. And I mean, the blizzard kind of went across the whole Midwest, but we got a lot here in Iowa. We got 20 to 26 inches of snow. 22 to 26 inches of snow. And that's probably the most snow that I've seen in my lifetime, if not since I've been a kid. I don't remember exactly how much I got when I was a kid. Maybe you'd know better than me, but definitely the most I've ever seen as an adult. And we got so much snow that we had to do some upgrading on the farm. You had to go get a dozer blade to put on the skid loader. And thank God that we bought another skid loader this in 23 because, well, you know better than anybody. You push more snow than I did, so.
Yeah. So we got a 320 skid loader, 70 horse 320, and we bought a 331, which is 100 horse, I think. And when we bought it, we were really thinking about all the concrete and old crap around here we were going to clean up. Yeah, when that snow came, if we wouldn't have had that, I would have had to try to get somebody to come in with a like a dozer blade on the front of a tractor or else a blower, because the drifts, you couldn't touch them with a blade on a tractor. And like 320, 72-inch bucket, you'd just be digging for days. So kudos to Stutzman's from Hills. They had an 8-foot adjustable dozer blade that it's a snow blade, but, you know, it's made like a dozer blade, and it's got the curve. And, I mean, we pushed snow for 4 days just to try to get feed trucks in and out. And kudos to anybody out there that is delivering freight or hauling hogs or hauling feed in this weather, because that, I think a lot of people don't realize that. It's kind of like during COVID when we talked about how you know, you can't just stop the production of pigs or, you know, whatever animal it is. So there's pigs that still have to move from the sow unit to somebody's finisher or nursery, and the packing plants still are trying to run, and you've got to move pigs out of those buildings because every week you've got pigs coming. And it, those guys, yeah, kudos
the guys,
to you.
The schedulers, those are the guys I feel yes. for. I mean, I feel for the truckers too, because there's got to get to where you need to go safely, and there's a lot of dumbass people driving on the roads, and the winter weather doesn't help. But the people that got to schedule all those trucks to be where they need to be, yep. and all the factors of weather and crashes, and if this farmer got his
if you can get down the
road. Can you get down the road, do you got to chain up the feed trucks, do you, I mean, there's so much stuff, like so many factors that go into that, making that job even more stressful than it already is when the weather's good. So shout out to those guys, because shit, that would be stressful.
So just one example of how bad it got in Southeast Iowa, feed mill from over by Oskaloosa that hauls a lot of feed for different integrators, but hauls some for the people we feed for. On a normal day, I want to say they haul between 80 and 100 loads of feed. I think that's right. There was one day they hauled one load, and the load they haul, they burned up the hydraulic pump on the trailer to get that one load hauled. So, I mean, you go backwards. Like, at one point, they were 300 loads behind is what I heard. So, just crazy. Anyway, got through it, and not any big disasters that I know of. And now it looks like it's going to be warm and all this snow is going to melt, and then we're all going to be complaining about the mud. But
I don't like the mud very much.
No, I don't either. Actually, as the snow melts, this is when everybody finds out whether you were actually blading your lane or you were blading the cornfield or you were blading your yard.
Yep.
We're going to find out how good your aim was. Because
there
was when we were blading out going to your site, you just are kind of like, well, that kind of looks sort of like where the driveway should be. You hope for the best. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we got stuck. I got stuck twice. Dad got stuck once. We both fell on our asses a couple times. You know, just the fun winter stuff that comes with it. I just hope we get no more snow.
Oh, that's a big hope, I think.
Well, at least not as much snow as we got this time around.
Yeah.
I could do one big storm, one big snowstorm a year, and after that, let's call it good. So
February, you can get a lot of snow in February. The only thing about it is usually the weather's like this, where you get it, and then it warms up and it melts.
One more month. March tends to be all right.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, the weather was so good this winter all up until January.
Yep.
Usually it starts in December, November, but we are a little late, so maybe we're going to have it drawn out a little bit longer than what we want.
And for all the haters out there, it was a damn good time to have pigs in confinement.
Yeah, it was.
It was really nice having hog buildings. I don't envy anybody that wants to raise them outside. This is the example of why we put pigs inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because doesn't work in Iowa this time of year to have them anywhere but inside. So
1,000%. Other thing that happened during all the snowstorm, you guys probably saw. This is kind of jump into our next topic, but Iowa caucus happened. We all went out as a family and caucused, and my observation, it's a little bit disappointing, is just from my perspective, not a lot of young people at all. Like, and I know I live in a small town. There's probably not a lot of young people my age around, but there are some. Saw nobody. And I get it. There's different districts of people voting and all that. But, man, I was probably the youngest person in the room that could eligibly vote there.
Yeah.
I was the youngest person in there. And that was a little disappointing, but also a little concerning, because it's like, dude, this isn't the big one. You know, this isn't the big election that's going to decide who's president, but it is an important one. And I mean, we're kind of in a pivotal time, I feel, in the country. And so I felt like maybe there'd be a little bit more people that felt that way too, that this is like, hey, this is kind of a big deal that we need to get in there and caucus who we want to be, you know, our candidate for Republican Party. But
who do you think that hurt the most?
Vivek. I think that hurt Vivek the most. I caucus for Trump, but if Trump wasn't an option, I would have probably caucused for Vivek. I like what came out of his mouth. I like that he was anti-establishment, and I thought that, you know, those two... I really thought Vivek would have done better, but yeah, I think a lot of younger people didn't show up, and the young people that did show up probably were thinking kind of similar to what I was thinking. It's just Trump's time. I mean, it's just Trump. People want Trump for these next 4 years, and DeSantis could be 2028. Vivek could be 2028, but right now I think it's pretty clear that people want Trump.
Yeah.
And for a number of reasons. I mean, there's a number of reasons, and we've talked about it before on the show, but... yeah, that was a little disappointing for sure. I don't care what, you know, who you were going to vote for. I just think it's important that we don't lose faith in our right as American citizens and like lose the importance of that, because that is our duty. And I know that there's some speculation of integrity of our voting system here in America. But even then, that doesn't, you shouldn't let that deter you from like, putting in the effort, casting your vote, you know?
So the split, I think the split across Iowa was pretty common everywhere you went. So in our ward, there was 42 votes for Trump, 20 votes for DeSantis, 7 votes for Haley, 5 votes for Vivek.
Sounds about right.
And I talked to a friend of mine that was at a different ward, and their numbers were almost exactly the same, and basically state of Iowa, he carried every county except one, and that county he lost by one vote. One vote. And so pretty solid. But since then, so by the time this goes out, the New Hampshire primary will be over.
Yep.
So we'll know whether or not Nikki Haley was able to spend enough money to have a better showing than what she did in Iowa. But the other thing is
it Carolina first or the New Hampshire?
I think New Hampshire's first, then Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, we're going to see. That will be interesting to see how it plays out. But also rumor has it she's going to lose her home state. And if she loses her home state...
What's that say?
I mean, you better shit or get off the pot is kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah, and... you all know this as well if you're paying attention to politics. Vivek dropped out, endorsed Trump. DeSantis dropped out, endorsed Trump. And I think that that's probably very hard for them to do. You know, I think you put a lot of time and effort into it. But, you know, it's like Vivek said, it's our duty. Like, the American people have spoken. Like, let's just run and do what's best for the party. Let's do what's best for the country. And... let Donald do his thing. So that was good to see, and I'm hoping Nikki kind of follows suit, because I don't think she has a chance of winning. Out of those four candidates, she was my last pick, just based on
her beliefs
and what she's been saying, and the idea that she might be bought by the military industrial complex and advocating for us to go to another war or go into war. I don't like that. So anyway,
the unique thing about Haley is that I think she can stay in the race a lot longer than the rest because she's so fully funded.
Well, that's the thing. And I heard people's opinion, like, why would she stay in the race, or why even, like, what's going to keep her in the race? And people are saying they're inferring that maybe she's trying to build up a big enough war chest money wise so that she can go run for Congress, because she ran as a tried to run as a governor, didn't win that. Tried to run for president, not going to win that. So what's your next move in your political career? Well, you're going to probably have to go and try to run for Congress, get in there. She'd make a good senator. I mean, I think she's...
depends on which one of her shows up. If the Nikki Haley that was the envoy to the UN shows up, I think she would be. I think she would be good in Congress. I mean, she fits in. She's already this. My snarky opinion is she's already bought and paid for, so it's not like she has to go through the orientation. She already knows. She already knows how the whole favor thing works, so she'd fit in just fine. And then keep her powder dry and turn around and run. There's no doubt she probably thinks that, you know, if this doesn't pan out, there'll be another time to try to run for president. So I think it would fit right in what she's trying to do.
Yeah, and a lot of talk about VP, who's Trump going to have there as his vice president. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time before we figure that out. I think he's going to wait on that. But a lot of people are saying Vivek, and I think out of young people, I saw a lot of videos and people talking about it. That is like everybody's hoping for that, especially young people. We're kind of hoping for that. I'm one of those people. I think Vivek would have his back. He's young. He brings life to the party. He brings life to Trump's presidency.
He's an outsider.
He's an outsider. He has good thoughts and good ideas. I think that he would, and that's the funny thing. I was listening to people talk about this. You know, for a long time, the VP really didn't matter. Like, I mean, it did, but it wasn't. That didn't decide somebody's vote, really. Oh, who you chose for vice president. Nobody really gave a shit. But I feel like we're kind of in this. We got two old fuckers running for president.
Yeah.
On either, both side, right? They're probably going to get the nomination, Biden, Trump, right? And, like, you want, I think a lot of people are like, oh, when you choose a VP, you want somebody wise, you know, you want somebody that's been in politics for a long time, yada, yada, yada. But now I think people want new life.
Yep.
And they want to see young, and they want to see people with new ideas. And who you pick as vice president kind of matters right now. And I feel like people are saying Vivek, people are saying, is it Ben Carson?
Yeah.
He's not really, really young. And then I've also heard Tucker Carlson, and I've also heard Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
For Trump. So that three out of those four are young, you know, for most people, they're young, or younger, and they really haven't had like a super long political career.
Right.
And, I think that's what people are kind of craving, is some young life.
But I think even the establishment's figuring out that you don't necessarily want somebody with a long political life, because people don't trust you.
Right.
Once you're an established politician, that has a bad tag attached to it. So,
and it used to not be that way, no. But that is a result of people kind of waking up a little bit. Yeah. I feel like, because people are coming to the realization of that.
Yep.
Which is nice to see. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. I think I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I'm hoping that Vivek can somehow get in there.
Yeah.
For sure. So we'll see.
So going along those lines, and speaking of Nikki Haley, she had a little talk the other day, and there was a part that was picked out, and Are you feeling healthy? Are you feeling good?
I guess I better be, because...
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to be working for a long, long, long time.
Sounds like I'm going to work till I die, is what it sounds like.
So what'd she have to say young ones?
There's a clip, and I don't know exactly when, what speech or what talk she gave that this clip is getting taken out of, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and there's a lot of people stitching it, a lot of people duetting it across Instagram, across TikTok, people talking about it on Twitter, and essentially it's her talking about, somebody asked her the question, for young people, you know, should they expect to, like, raise the retirement age? How are they going to, you know, when are they going to be able to retire? And she said that you should expect to, we need to raise the expectation of when you should retire, or when you're able to retire, to, like, 70 years old. And the average life expectancy of an American, I think, is 70 male. Are you sure?
I think.
Or is it just American?
Women traditionally live longer.
I don't know. I just saw 74 years old is the life expectancy of either American male or all Americans, whatever. But so essentially work till you're 70. Essentially work till you die.
You can't work.
Till you can't work no more, and then you're so beat down by working that you can't even probably function for the last 4 years. But that's pissed a lot of people off. lot of people off. And that's another reason why I think she has no shot of winning the nomination at all. Because there's a lot of people pissed. And there's a lot of people that are pissed not only because she said that, but what she said struck a nerve because a lot of people are struggling financially.
Yeah, it isn't just that she said it. I think that it's your generation feels it. That it's our, like, yeah, the retirement age is not 70, but there's a lot of uncertainty whether so will Social Security even be there? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Probably
I don't think it will be.
Nope.
And the way the economy is and inflation, I feel like a lot of people, younger people, just feel like they're trapped. Mm-hmm. So that what she said was just kind of like a lightning bolt for all these feelings that people have anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's, and I'm a somebody that likes to like really hear people out. Like I watched a lot of those videos and I just wanted to hear different perspectives on what people were saying. And I think it's no doubt inflation has gone up. Prices, everything have gone up. Wages have not matched the prices of stuff that we have to buy, no doubt. And so it's really hard right now to be a young person and go get a house, go get a car, go
find
on vacation, find a wife, go out to the bars, go to concerts, like all those fun luxury shit that you want to splurge on. If you're smart, you're probably looking at that and you're saying, yeah, now is probably not the best time to do that. And you're not able to do that. If you're dumb, you're probably just saying, fuck it, run the credit card and go for it, whatever. And I think there's people on both sides of that. But I also feel like, you know, I saw a picture on Twitter of a picture taken from the 1960s of a family in Detroit, Michigan. And it was a picture of them outside their house in front of their car. And it was two kids, a wife, and the husband. And the husband worked at Ford Motor Company when it was thriving and booming. And the mother was a stay-at-home mom, and the two kids were out front. So obviously they had kids. And it just got me thinking. And also the house didn't have a garage on it. It didn't have a garage. It was just a little small house. They had a car and they had a little family. And it also got me thinking, on the other side of this, we also as a society, and it's not our, I mean, it's not really our fault. It's kind of just how things have played out. You know, living frugal now versus living frugal then, totally different. Like back then, I'm sure not every kid had their own, bedroom. Not every kid had their own bathroom. They weren't paying for streaming services. They weren't paying for a phone. They probably made all their food at home. They're all the small luxuries that we enjoy today that just about everybody, a lot of people enjoy to this, you know, every day. They didn't really have that back then. And I think that they lived more frugal than what we do now, not making an excuse for the stupidity of what's happened in our economy and how it's all been playing out. But I'm just saying those two things are kind of contradicting themselves. And I think that it's kind of a mix of those two things are kind of mixing a little bit.
They didn't have consumerism.
Yeah, they didn't. You're right. That was kind of the 80s. That was like the rise of consumerism. Yes. You need every little gadget. You need every little thing in your house. You need all that shit to so that Americans would spend more money.
Yeah,
and become a consumer.
That was a calculated. I mean, you can say it was calculated. It wasn't. I mean, what it came down to is we had an economy that you speak of that ran on needs. Mm-hmm. So it ran on needs. People needed a car. People needed a house. Didn't have to be a grand house. It didn't have to be an automated house. You had to have a stove. You had to have a refrigerator. But you didn't need every little gadget and dealy bob and, you know, whatever you want to call it. And the economy did not run on services. It didn't run on going out to eat. It didn't run on going and having people wait on you. It ran on consumer goods, how many washers, dryers, refrigerators, kitchen tables.
And people probably knew how to fix more shit than they do now.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then, you know, there was a pivot because you had the rise of of companies that build a product and didn't have a customer for it, and the ad campaign started where you had to get people's mind to switch from buying a need versus buying a want. And we created the want, and we created the idea that you should have this because it makes your life easier. It isn't that you needed it, but it's easier. And now then we've come to the point, and I've got some statistics on this idea of your generation moving to retirement about, you know, average incomes of retired people and cost of living and all that. But one of the effects of the way our society works today is there's never been a time that it's been easier to instantaneously put yourself in debt, because you have the rise of Amazon and online shopping to where you can get something right away. You don't have to see it, think about it, figure out where you can get it, and then actually drive there and get it. Or maybe you have to order it, you know, and wait however long till it comes to the store. You can have it tomorrow. But then on top of it, you have social media that you're consuming. So you consume the social media, you see the product.
Hell, you can buy on the social media platforms
now. And you instantaneously
now.
Can get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing is you don't even have to have the money anymore. There's right. platforms like Afterpay
yeah.
that will give you a line of credit to buy the product, four payments in 4 months, and so you can buy it.
The ability to be removed from your income has never, like, it's never been quicker.
Yeah. And do you feel like the rise of television do you think it was methodical, or do you feel like the rise of television just gave companies more opportunity to advertise and get in front of people's faces, and it just snowballed where everybody was like, we got to get on TV? And it was so new that people didn't realize what was happening when they were watching TV and seeing an advertisement. They were just being sold to, and they were like, wow, this is new, this is fresh. That product looks kick-ass. Now we're just numb to ads. Yeah. Like, you know you're getting sold.
Now you try to get away from ads.
Right, but back then it was so new that it was like, wow, that's every little product, every little thing was like, wow, that's kick-ass. And I feel like, yeah, I guess what I was trying to say is we don't live as simple as we did then. And I guess that's not necessarily a bad thing. We got amazing technologies and shit that make life easier. But I'm just saying, when it comes to financially being frugal, we don't live as simple as they lived.
Yeah. So your point of starting out, young people starting out, it is harder for them than ever in the fact that most of them come from, if you come, like you moving out of my house where you have parents that are established and that are consumers, and we had all that shit, and we were no better than anybody else. We bought a lot of stuff that we didn't have to have, but it was damn nice to have. And so you had all this, and then you move out on your own and you start from scratch and you go to the kitchen cupboard to get X, and you're like, shit, I don't have one of them.
Yeah. Well,
and then you're like, hey, where'd you get this? And you're like, oh, I got it off of Amazon. And you go look, you go, shit, that's expensive. Uh-huh. So, like, setting up house today is exponentially more expensive just from the volume of stuff that you are accustomed. A young person, the lifestyle they're accustomed to versus the lifestyle that they can afford, that gap is way wider than it was.
Yeah, but there's not always people that were like, grew up in that situation. But I also think that they're very easily influenced now.
Right.
Even if you don't come from an established household and have those some nice things, it's consumer things,
social media,
you are still so, if anything, that probably makes you more hungry to get those kind of things because you've never had it.
You equate.
And then when
success.
You see people influencing you on social media, this new gadget, this new thing, it's very easy to go, yeah, well, I want that. I never had something like that. I want it. And it's the same with people that had, like you were saying, that have had an established household with their parents. They get out. They now don't have the thing that they were so accustomed to. And they're like, fuck, I need to get that. I know, I was just telling my brother, we were at mom and dad's eating, and I was like, gosh, mom and dad just have all the kitchen shit that I said, you know, the whole idea, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know shit until you like go have your own kitchen and your own house and you like cook. And then you go to your mom and dad's house when you're an adult and you're like, gosh, they have every little gadget, every little thing that makes things just go so much better and so much more smooth for cooking. Gosh. And my brother's like, they're 50 years old, Sawyer. I mean, they've had time to accumulate some of these nice things. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's yeah, true.
It is 100% true.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate every single one of you guys. Let's keep this ball rolling. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple. Follow us on YouTube. Pay the fee. Share it out with who you know. It all helps, guys. We appreciate every single one of you. We love you. Now, let's get back to the podcast. But I guess I don't know what the solution really is to this. I just know people are pissed. And I know that not one president is going to fix this. The president's not going to change things around. They might change it around in the short term. You know, Trump can come in and change the economy a little bit and make it better like he did. But, I mean, is he still going to spend a shitload of money? Is he going to inflate the dollar? I mean, those are kind of concerns of mine. And I don't know.
Well, talk about inflation. You and I had a conversation, and you were talking about how a lot of people don't understand how inflation actually works.
Yes, and I mean, I'll be honest with you, I knew a little bit, but I didn't understand it all the way. But I've looked into it more and more, and I saw a video the other day of a guy that got asked a question like, pretty much asking him, you know, so once it inflates the cost of everything, does it deflate? You know, like, and I think a lot of times in the media, when people just throw out the inflation number, the inflation percentage, people that don't have any idea what inflation means or really understand it, they see that number go up and down and they go, oh, well, it's inflating. Oh, it's deflating now. That's not what that means. The inflation percentage number is just how much your shit is going up year after year. So if it's 3%, which it's probably not 3%, they're just telling you it is, your prices of shit are going to go up 3% every year. That doesn't mean like if it came down from 6 to 3 that the prices of shit aren't going to go up year after year. They're not going up as fast.
Right.
But I don't think people, obviously, that guy answered that question, and that guy that asked him that question did not understand that. And I wonder how many people actually understand that. We're not you can't inflate it and then deflate it. That's not happening. That's not why that number's going up or down. Like, it's just how much shit is going up in price, and it's going to continue to go up in price. It's just how much.
And it never goes down. I shouldn't say never. There has been times in history where, and we've talked about it here, that, you know, if the economy goes badly enough, you could see deflation where people can't sell a shit. You can't sell a car. You can't sell a wash machine. So then the price has to go down with the hope that you get somebody to buy it. But we're not in that situation. We haven't been in that situation for a long time. And right now, with the shortage of labor and everything else we're facing, we've been in... Inflation's been a lot worse than what the government is reporting it as, because the numbers they use for the consumer price index and for inflation, they use the rise of the most stable things in the economy. So, yeah, you can say, you know, it's 3% or it's 5%, but when you go to buy a pair of work boots and you bought them last year and they're $64 and you go buy them this year and they're $80, that's not 3%.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you go, you know, whatever it is.
Talk about the carpenter that we know.
Yeah, so a good friend of mine's a carpenter, builds houses, and, you know, he can tell you everything that he touches to build a house has gone up 20, 30, 40%. And now he talks about how there's a few things in the trades that have actually gone down, but they haven't gone down anywhere near what they went up. And then there's still things There's still materials that he's buying. They're going up even now. So, and you see it, there's all kinds of examples we could talk about, but like Clay, like your brother, he does a lot with real estate, new homes, and that kind of stuff, and he can tell you the size of these houses. Like today, when you're buying a new house, you're buying the smallest two-car garage. Like, it's billed as two cars.
Close as it can be.
It has two doors, but you can't open both doors to both cars when they're parked in the garage because you better not have an extended cab, crew cab pickup, because you ain't getting that son of a bitch in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the living rooms, everything is smaller because they're doing anything they can to try to save a buck. And that's inflation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. So,
yeah. And I was something I left out on this point about just young people being pissed. And, you know, another thing that's pissing young people off, and we're all guilty of this. And I think, it's just it's the easy thing to say is, oh, these young people don't want to work. These young people, they want a handout. You know, they don't know how to work. They didn't go through life like the old timers did. And that can be true to an extent. But I do think there are some young people that are putting in their time every single day, and they're hustling, and they're doing everything that they can, and they're doing everything that they got told that they should do. And they're getting pissed because not only are they not able to do the things and buy the things that everybody was telling us that we were going to be able to buy once we work out this game plan that they laid in front of us, but also people are also spitting in your face and saying, well, your generation, they don't know how to fucking work. You guys just want a fucking handout. Get your hand out. And that pisses us. That pisses a lot of young people off too. And so I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but something interesting that I heard is, you know, and I don't think this gets talked about enough, but, you know, taxes. We get taxed. Like, I think everybody looks at what you get taxed and they base taxes off personal income tax. Like, that's what everybody just says. Oh, I get taxed. I'm in this tax bracket or this tax bracket. Yada, yada, yada. And I know that that's probably the biggest chunk of tax that you pay every year. But if you're paying 30%, you're paying more like 40%.
50%.
Think about all the shit that everything you buy, you get taxed. Everything you fucking own, you get taxed on.
Everything you use,
you get taxed on. And then everything you make, you get taxed. This idea that you're paying, you know, my income tax, like, that's the thing that I think everybody talks about. I'm only paying 30% tax. Fuck no, you're not. You're paying 50 fucking percent. Every single one of us is, practically.
And a lot of people don't even, I don't think they equate, they couldn't tell you what their tax rate is, because if you're working for a company and your taxes come out before you get your check, you never see it.
Right.
And most people, they actually have more money taken out of their check than what their tax rate is, because nobody wants to get to the end of the year and owe taxes. So they have more taken out. And I've got friends and family members that work for like the university, and like, they love it when they get to the end of the year because they get a big tax. They get they get money back, and they're excited about it. They're going to go buy a new TV, or they're going to go buy a new couch, or they're going to paint the house because they got their tax return. But what they don't realize is the government used your money for free for a year, and then they gave part of it back to you. So, and they didn't pay you interest on the extra money that you sent them that you should have had to start with. So I don't think most people even realize what their actual tax rate is. But, okay, World Pork Expo is this week. The next episode you see, I will be back from the World Expo.
It's not World.
Or not World. Sorry, Iowa Pork Congress. I get, yeah.
Too many events for
too
you.
Too many events. So the Iowa Pork Congress is going on. So I'll give you an update on how much crying and mashing of teeth will be going on there, because there'll be a lot of, I don't feel like there's a lot of joy there. But I booked a hotel room. You pay you pay local option sales tax in whatever, you know, where it is. And then, like, there's a tax on hotel rooms to raise money. There's a gas tax on the gas that I put in my Jeep to drive up there. You pay a sales tax on everything.
Uber, if you have to get an
if
Uber.
If you get Uber, there's tax on that. My cell phone bill, do you know there's a tax? There's like a communication tax on your cell phone bill every month. There's a tax for you. I mean, everything you freaking touch, there's tax on. So when you say, yeah, you're not paying 30%. No, you're paying like 50%.
All of us.
So go to your thoughts, a good one.
Yeah. I just think a solution that would help a lot of people, a lot of businesses, and make America thrive again is, hey, let's set the tax, like the total tax everybody pays, total. I'm talking all the shit Dad just said, not just income tax, total. Let's set that shit to like 10%. And let's get a government that like spends our fucking tax dollars a little bit more wisely. Because let's be honest, they aren't spending our tax dollars wisely. Yeah, you can say that they're building infrastructure, they're helping with bridges and shit like that. But a lot of money that we're seeing now, it's getting sent over to Ukraine. It gets sent over to foreign entities. It gets sent over to, it's getting put in politicians' pockets and however they move it. It's not being used for the betterment of America. If they were really taking all our tax dollars and using it for that purpose, there wouldn't be as much crime. There wouldn't be as much homeless people. Fuck, we would have a southern border wall by now. We would have a northern border wall by now. We would have all these fucking things that would benefit America, but we don't. Because they're not fucking using our tax dollars wisely. And if anything, we're all paying all this money. We're paying 50 fucking percent, all of us practically. And they don't do shit with it to help us. Barely. They barely do. I mean, you could say that they do a little bit, but all these problems that we have could be solved if we would actually use the tax dollars for the betterment of American citizens, but it doesn't feel like that's happening. And think about if that was the case. Think about how much money you would take, more money you would take home and have available to feed your fucking family if all you had to pay was 10% across the board.
And the other part is everybody should pay.
Yeah.
Everybody should pay.
And everybody would be willing. I feel like everybody would be more willing to pay taxes if they knew.
Today in America, half of the population pays no tax. Everybody gets a vote. So Andy Frisella,
yeah,
his belief is if you don't pay tax.
Yeah, if you don't pay tax, you don't vote. And if you're 16 years old and you're working and you got to pay taxes because you make good money, you should have a fucking say on who runs this country. 1,000%. And I think that's a great point. And I think that's a great idea. I mean, think about how many more people would be thriving, how much more money everybody would have left over every month, how much more money would go into investments, how much more industry would be built, how many more small businesses would be thriving, how many more mid-sized businesses would be thriving. And I know you'd say, well, the big corporations like Amazon will get fucking bigger and they'd become conglomerates and all that shit.
They already are.
Well, Jesus, they already are. And honestly, if we're being real, Amazon probably doesn't. I mean, these big companies and these big CEOs, they know the tax code better than fucking anybody. I mean, a lot of them do. And a lot of them are trying to get out of paying taxes anyway because they know the fucking tax code. They know how to work the system. And I'm not holding that against them. That's the tax code. Play the game. If you know it, play it. But let's be real, they're not going to pay the tax anyway. They're barely paying the tax.
Yeah. The tax, the IRS, the whole tax code, it's as political as anything. So you go whatever it is, whether it's 10%, it's 12%, it's 8%, it's 30%, whatever it is, flat tax. There's a lot of people that have run on the idea of a flat tax, and part of it is it simplifies everything to where you could throttle the IRS back to like nothing, because if you have a tax that the code is super simple that anybody can understand it, you don't need all that. You don't need all that bureaucracy. But it's like everything in our society, in our government, we just get more bureaucracy, not less. So I don't know what the answer is, but
I would just say too, it's so funny. We can send billions of dollars to Ukraine for no benefit of the American people, but if Sally is late on, if Sally doesn't get her fucking taxes in, she gets thrown in prison. She gets thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Make that make fucking sense. You're throwing our goddamn dollars away for no betterment of anybody in this country with no repercussions, no nothing. But if Sally's late on her fucking taxes, it's prison. It's jail time.
Or we're sending that money for the defense of their
it's fucking their bullshit. Freedom,
and our border is as porous as it's ever been. So why don't we fix that first?
And it's like, gosh, Boston Tea Party. Fucking tea tax. They got pissed about tea tax. We're getting taxed 50 fucking percent. And we're just laying down and taking it.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? How did this even happen? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know what the solution is, but to me, that would make every American citizen thrive more. Every business would thrive. And I think a lot more, just people would be happy. A lot more income would be around. A lot more money. When people have money, not saying money is the only thing that buys happiness, but it sure as fuck makes you comfortable. It sure as fuck gives you peace of mind and allows you to do more shit that you want to do.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think a lot more people would be happy.
It ain't going to get any easier for you. So, I'll give you just a little perspective before we move on. So, as we talk about your generation having to figure it out, the average 65-year-old retiree that is debt-free, percentage of the population that is of retirement age that is debt-free, 2022, I think, is when this was, 56%. In 1997, it was 76%. So, not going in the right direction. The median net worth of retirees, now this isn't the average, because the average, you can look at it two different ways, but average, if you have really low numbers and really high numbers, it skews. Both of them are skewed, but this is the median. So this is the middle of the road for the number of people that half the people are above this number, half the people are below this number. The median net worth for retirees in this country, $266,000. So in other words, if you have a $500,000 house, if your house is worth $300,000, and that's all you own, that's the only thing that you own as far as an asset. You have a house worth $300,000. You owe $100,000 on the mortgage. Your net worth is $200,000. If you just bought it, you have no equity, you have no net worth. Simple. That's as simple as I can make it.
It's just about how much you own.
All the shit you own minus all
your
money
debt.
You owe, net worth. Median income for retiree. The median income for retirement age people in the United States, $47,357. Most of that's probably Social Security. My mother's nursing home bill for a month, $11,000. Single woman, $11,000.
In Iowa, of
in
all
Iowa.
Places. I mean, if you think that's a lot, you should go around the more luxurious cities and places that there's retirement homes and retirement communities, because it's way more fucking money than that.
Yeah. So when you're thinking about how much money do I need to retire? Way more than you ever dreamed of. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm already on Nikki Haley's program. I'm probably never going to retire. I'll just work till I'm dead and then hope there's enough. Hopefully there's enough life insurance to put me in the ground. So
yeah, and I'm not, I always feel bad because I always feel like we just are doom and gloom on here. And we're not trying to be, we're just talking about how we feel about things. And I'm just recognizing how people, this is what I've seen across social media. People are pissed, especially what came out of her mouth. That pisses people off. And nobody wants anyone in power that's saying that kind of shit. And it may be the truth, Nikki. It may be the truth, and there's not shit we can do about it.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Right. But she should have recognized that was a bad thing to say in the time and place that we are in the state that we are in the United States. But, how I look at it, yeah, that shit scares me a little bit. Because, I'm young. I want to start a family. I want to get married. I want to enjoy my life. I want to go on vacations and have experience with my kids and my wife and all that, right? But like Kat and I have had the conversation, like right now in our 20s, we don't go and do a lot. Right now, we're kind of just grinding. We're working. We're trying to build everything that we're doing so that later down in the road in life, we can go enjoy more. And some of you might be like, oh, well, you're in your 20s. You know, you hear people say, go enjoy, go live. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll never be younger than you already are. But desperate times calls for desperate measures. And I feel like we're kind of in a time in America where you kind of have to have your shit together. These are some realities. This is reality. You can say and be in fairy tale land, say, yeah, it's great to go do that and this and that. But you got to be kind of fucking smart if you're young right now. Like, no bullshit. You got to kind of be smart about what you're doing with your money. And I'm not saying don't go enjoy a little bit, but be conscious about it. Because what I'm going to do is do everything in my power to try to, you know, succeed and try to provide as much value as I possibly can to the world in exchange that we can make some income that helps us on our future and our path to hopefully living a comfortable life, a free life, a life where we can go and experience things and you know, enjoy life and not work every single waking hour. And right now it kind of feels like that, but I'm doing this for the benefit of the future. Hopefully I don't have to do that.
What's the future look like?
What's the future?
What does your future look like?
Well, I'm not done with this yet.
Okay,
I'll get into that. But I would just say to any young person listening, just you gotta hustle. Like right now, I feel like you gotta really hunker down, be smart about your financials, and hustle your ass off and look for any opportunity to make money. But also, if you want, like, a 1% life. I always talk about that. I always said, you know, I want to try to have a 1% life. I want to do what 99% of people aren't able to do. I want to go do those kinds of things, go on these trips and experience these things with my family, you know. But that's increased. That the ticket to get there is even more than it was.
Right.
And the ticket to have a good average life, that's gone up too. So you got to hustle. You got to go look for information on like how you're going to get to the place that you want to go. And I think you're really going to have to put more effort than what you think.
And part of that is just know 100, this is 100% true. If you don't remember anything else out of this, just know this, that the $50 widget that you buy today, the $50 thing that shiny, if you're a raccoon, the $50 shiny thing that you can't live without, that $50 invested in your business or invested in saving or invested in investments, that is worth way more in future dollars. And you really have to decide.
Yeah.
Okay, am I going to spend that money on this shiny thing for right now, or am I going to take that money and I'm going to put it for somewhere down the road? And the more you can do that,
yeah,
the better off future you is going to look back and go, damn, I'm glad I did that.
It all takes sacrifice.
Yep.
What are you willing to give up now so you can have it in the future? And I'm willing to give up as much as I can right now so I can have an amazing life in the future. Get financially literate. Go seek opportunity. Go look for opportunities. Go look on how you can advance yourself. And, you know, because it's going to take money, dude. It's going to take a lot of fucking money. And so if you're willing to pay the price, you're going to have to be willing to pay the price if you want a great life, unfortunately. And I'm, like I said, not doom and gloom, but I'm also all about self-accountability. Nobody's coming. Nobody's going to come help you. No politician that we elect is going to fucking change the whole tide and somehow do exactly what I said about, oh, everybody's going to pay 10%. That'd be fucking awesome, but I'm not going to bank on that. I'm not going to bank on one president getting into office and changing the whole landscape of our situation that we're in. You can't bank on that. All you can do is play the game that you're in and play it to the highest level that you can possibly play it at, because that's all you can do. So that's all I'm going to try to do, and I hope that's all that... I hope and wish that you guys go for the same thing, because that's what it's going to take. Unfortunately, that's what it's going to take. So that's all I'll say. My future. Yeah, this is a little late to the game, but I did get engaged. I got engaged on Christmas Eve. I'm a little late to the party at letting you guys know that. So I got engaged to Kat on Christmas Eve. She's never been on the show. We're going to have her come on the show sometime and just talk about some just bullshit and get you guys get to know her. But she's also on our This'll Do Farm YouTube channel. She helps us out on the farm a lot. So if you want to go see what she's like, you can check her out on there. But yeah, we've been dating for 3.5 years. We've been living together, about that same time. We moved in pretty early together, and it's been awesome. It's been an awesome ride. She's my ride or die. She's supported me through. When this all was a dream, when I had 2,300 subscribers on This'll Do Farm, and Barn Talk wasn't even an idea yet, and the idea of starting Farmer Grade was just fresh in my mind, and I was this young kid that was, you know, chewing pigs, that, you know, was just working, and just trying to come up with all these crazy ass ideas. She supported me from absolute day one and believed in what we were trying to do. And that very, very important. And it was the best decision I've made in my life so far. And so, yeah, got out on one knee on Christmas Eve and she said yes, obviously. And yeah, we're going to get hitched sometime, but talking about expensive things and being frugal with your finances, I think there's also a lot of young people, Kat and I talked about this, that are probably did get engaged this year, and they're thinking, what are we going to do to, how are we going to get hitched and not break the fucking bank? How are we going to stay afloat and pay for a wedding and pay for a honeymoon and, you know, all that shit? So we're thinking about that. We have no date yet on when we're going to get married, but we are thinking and being very smart. The biggest thing we want to keep in mind and want to put at the forefront of just getting married is we are going to make that day about us. And we don't give a fuck about everybody else's opinions of what we're doing. We're going to do what we want to do so we can remember that day and have a great day together, because that's all that really matters. And so I don't know what that looks like, but we're going to figure it out. And, we're going to try to do it, I think, the most cost-effective way we possibly can. We're going to get creative, that's for sure. But, yeah, so that's an important update in my life. And definitely a good decision for my future, for sure. Yep. So
we are glad to have her. She is a great gal. You know, you got to question her decision-making a little bit.
Why do you say that?
Well, because she did say yes. I mean, but we are thankful. I've been trying to find somebody to pawn Sawyer off on for a long time, and we're glad that she's going to take up the bill. I'm just kidding.
No,
You're a good kid. You're a good kid.
Thanks. I know you got to bring me down.
She's
going to
be a great daughter-in-law, huh?
Yeah, you got to break me down a little bit.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I do. I got to rain on your parade a little bit. We're super excited. So we actually had her family over. We had kind of a engagement party at our house here just recently, and had both families there, and it was great. And looking forward to it. So
yeah, and I would say that's also something that's. I have friends. I have single friends that are in the dating pool, and I will just tell you, if you find a woman, or find a man, whoever you're going and seeking, and they have the values and the it is so hard to find young people nowadays that are compatible partners for the long term and for somebody you think you can do life with for the long term. And I found that with Kat, but I'll just say, I have a lot of single friends that are trying to find that, and it is very fucking hard. And it's because I think a multitude of things. Social media, morals and values have gone down. Standards have gone down. Principles have gone down among people. And I guess if you're a young guy out there, work on yourself and become the man you want to be. And when you think you found somebody that you know you can do life with, make sure you settle down with that person, because just what I've observed, it's getting harder and harder to find a good woman. I will just say that. And I'm not bagging on anybody, but that's just what I've seen and observed. And so wish you luck. And when you got one that you know is the one, don't hesitate. Make sure you take that. So that's all I'll say. That's my dating advice of 2024.
That's pretty good. Well, I think we're in a good place. I was going to comment. There's a great clip out of Dana White getting a question from a Canadian reporter about talk among the UFC, and we're not going to go into it in great detail, but check that out, because his viewpoint, his absolute savage reply to that guy and his stance on free speech and just rebuttal of anybody that tries to throw anything woke at him. We talked about that a little bit on a previous episode, but I love that guy, and I think more and more people are waking up to that, and gives me a lot of hope. So if you get a chance, check that out. The guy basically makes the comment of him keeping fighters on a leash, and he just unloads on that guy. So anyway, check that out.
Dana White is definitely a freedom fighter.
100% he is.
That's what I love about him.
Yep.
I think that if anything I would say about us, and if anything, I think we need more people that are freedom fighters. That's all I care if you give a shit about is keeping the freedoms in this country that we've enjoyed for a long time. And I think that's what we're trying to do here. I mean, at the end of the day, we just want to keep America free and keep it the country that it's been for however long. So, and Dana White is a perfect example of that. Not afraid to tell somebody how he thinks, which is awesome. He's a true example of freedom of speech.
There's no negotiation. He's not willing to negotiate away his beliefs. You can either take it or leave it, but he's not going to accommodate you because he's not worried about your feelings.
He's not a sheep. Yeah. He is not somebody that's going to roll with the herd. Yeah. He's somebody that stands on his principles, stands on his beliefs, and stands on his standards. And we need more of that shit. Stand on what you believe. Don't fucking just roll with the herd.
Yeah.
Because you just keep having what happened. What's happened is going to keep happening. It's just going to keep playing out if more people just be sheep. So, anyway, that's all. I think that's it.
That's good.
Feel good about that one?
Yep, I'm excited.
You're excited?
Yep. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to go do a little choring. And then I'm heading to Des Moines for the Pork Congress, where I'm in my element.
Yep.
I'll be able to just talk nonsense for 2 days straight.
What's going to be your story of the... I've noticed this as we've done this thing with Dad and I together over the last few years. We've gone to World Pork Expo. And, you know, when I was little, I never went into the trade show, really, because Dad was always just working a booth. But, you know, these years we've done it for social media stuff, and this will do farm and going and seeing, and we were kind of like just walking around. And Dad, you know, used to walk around, but that wasn't really, you didn't have a booth to go to. No. But, you know, he knows everybody at these pork deals. He's been you were in the industry forever, and we talked to everybody. And one thing that I picked up on Dad is he has a story of the day.
Yep.
Every person he talks to, he's got a story of the day that he'll run on repeat, and it might have a few...
Might vary a little bit,
yeah. But that is your story. That's like your icebreaker. Every single time you talk to somebody, you just get better and better and better at telling that story. So what's that story going to be?
I don't know. I guess I don't really know what it'll be. What usually happens is I run into the first... So I'll probably walk in there. I know exactly how this is going to go, so I'll give you an update. So when I walk in, I'll come in the door and I'll see John Cushman from LB White, because their booth is usually close to one of the entrances. I'll stop there, talk to them, head down, and depending on what aisle, AP, Automated Production Systems, they'll have a big corner booth, and I'll go in there and talk to Kevin Rath, and then I'll hit PSI. And I used to work for PSI, so that's where I'll stow my bag and my coat. And if I have to recharge my phone, I'll pawn their electricity to do it because they're kind enough to let me, and give those guys all shit. And that will be my base that I'll work out of. And somewhere between those three spots, a conversation will start and it'll jump something in my mind of some story that they haven't heard. And I'll tell that story and I'll gauge the reaction. And if I get the right reaction, then after that, I'll just roll with it.
And, it, and sometimes it I feel like it can just be something that happened to you. Like if mom calls you and says something that you,
yep.
Or I call you and you'll say some shit.
You've been yeah. a story before.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's something that.
Like, so I think I used that. I think the first time you went, I like to equate Sawyer to proper nutrition, and I would just introduce Sawyer and I would say, the comparison between he and I, this is what it looks like when you feed somebody to their genetic potential, because Sawyer is 6 foot tall and I'm 5 foot tall. And so, you know, same genetics here, pass forward, but this is what feeding to genetic potential looks like. And, you know, if you're in the hog business, that gets a lot of good laughs.
Gets a lot of good laughs. And you just got to throw in, I just got all the bacon.
Yep. All the bacon.
They love that.
I don't know what it was last year. I can't remember what the story was.
I can't either, but that was my observation. So there's your tip if you're ever at a trade show. Just find that one story and tell it to everybody, because
yep.
you're talking to all different kinds of people every time. So,
and I wish I could, you know, I didn't just come up with that. I'm standing on the shoulders of a lot of great salespeople that I learned a lot. And I'm pretty sure I actually probably learned that from Jerome Vitito. Jerome Vitito is a guy that he had a story every
that
time.
That guy is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and we still got to get him on because he had a story and he knew how to work it. And, you know, everybody talked to, they'd be putty in his hands by the time he got done. So,
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up, guys. If you got any value from the show, if you're related to us on anything, please share it out. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple. Make sure that you do what is required to enter into the raffle, and we will pick two winners. Also, just keep your head up. I know times are tough. I know this year is going to be tough, but we're fucking Americans. We're tough. So just keep battling every day. Keep working your ass off, and just keep seeking how you can get better and how you can better yourself for the future, and it's going to pay off. Just know you're not the only one struggling. We all are fucking struggling, and we all feel the pain that you're feeling. Some of us might have worse situations than others, but we'll get through it. So keep doing your thing. Keep pushing. We'll see you guys back here next week for another episode.